Throughout the 2,000 years of Catholic Christianity, there have been periods of great holiness where the Church has influenced the culture. Sadly, there have been also periods of great sin where the attitudes, politics, and actions of the secular have pressured the sacred. And for a time, what is not of God has seemingly triumphed. We are living in a time when the Church must remain committed to Christ and his teaching, no matter how unpopular or politically incorrect it might be. I may have mentioned this to you before, but in my 34 years as a priest in May and almost 10 years as a bishop, I have never seen such pride-filled efforts by certain members of the hierarchy and religious orders, and more than a few elected officials who have tried to redefine what the Church believes and teaches, especially on the life issues. And sadly, one European country in particular seems to be guilty of trying to compromise a number of fundamental teachings of the faith for what many of the Church throughout the world believe is an effort to retain the income from a state tax. That said, our attitude, and an attitude that is particularly alarming in our society today, is that false teaching that we cannot judge people lest we be judged. The wider community regularly maintains that no one is in a position to judge another's behavior or statements. This approach holds that everybody's words and actions are of equal value, although the cancel culture is now trying to change this. The position is not Christian, but it has not stopped it from finding a home amongst many otherwise good people. We often hear people say, perhaps we've said it ourselves, we're not in a position to judge, or you can't judge them, and what is good for them, well, then it's fine. We call this moral relativism, and it tries to claim that the morality or behavior is only determined by the person, what they do, and the context in which the action is taken. But in Catholic moral theology, we are taught that the context is very important in assessing the culpability, a degree of responsibility and blame for what has been said or done. However, the particular circumstances never change the fact that certain words and actions are in and of themselves either right or wrong, sinful or virtuous, regardless of intent or circumstances. While all human beings have equal value and dignity as beloved sons and daughters of God, everyone's opinion and actions are not always of equal worth. That is why at confirmation we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially right judgment. And when exercised with humility and compassion, it is an effective way and a necessary way for us to live our lives as Catholic Christians. How then do we deal with those words of Jesus which tell us not to judge others? Perhaps the better understanding is that we are not to condemn others. Now, you've heard me say this before. There's a world of difference between judging and condemning. To judge is to make an assessment. To condemn is to damn. And as Christians, we judge because we have to keep discerning how the things of the world can be reconciled with the things we hold true, as taught by Jesus Christ and his Church. Condemnation is the prerogative of God alone, who sees all, knows all, and loves all. Which leads to our gospel this morning, on the fourth Sunday of Lent, Laetare, or the Rejoicing Sunday. The rose-colored altar cloth is meant to remind us of this joy. We are at the midpoint of our Lenten observance, and it's almost as if we need a little joy in the midst of this penitential season of preparation for Easter. Why does the Church invite us in the middle of a penitential season to rejoice? For one reason. Because God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son. St. John tells us that even God has forfeited his right to condemn the world, but he has sent Jesus to be the world's light, life, truth, our Savior. St. John tells us that even when we find ourselves lost in the darkness of our most destructive behavior, the saving love of Christ is always available to us. inviting us to come out of the darkness into his compassionate light. If we stopped and thought about it, the metaphor of light and darkness best describes the judgments we make in our own lives. Alarm bells should ring when we find ourselves not wanting anyone else to know what we've said or done. Secrecy is often the ally of sin. And the more open that we are, the more confident we can be that we are walking as children of the light. Again, God so loved the world, this is the good news. Not only does he love us, but freely he gave us his most precious gift, his Son. Yes, we know about sin. He knew about sin. We already heard about it with Cain and Abel and Sodom and Gomorrah, David and Bathsheba, and all the rest of the wicked that are mentioned in the pages of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Yet God insists that the world is lovable, and that he loved it first, and he's here waiting for this to be known. But looking around, how can it be that we often choose darkness over light? The answer is found in evil. Humanity's preference, as one scripture scholar said, for sin over grace, hatred over love, self over salvation. We are capable of all of this. That is why it is so important for us in the Lenten season to take seriously charity and penance and prayer. This grace-filled season provides us the opportunity to check our evil impulses, to resist the attractiveness of sin that takes us away from God. Remember this, it's not the world that is evil. No, there is evil in the world. And we're all capable of choosing evil, of preferring darkness to light. But there's much good in our world waiting to be discovered. There are many good people whose love of God, fidelity to the faith, and witness to Christ help us on our path to Jesus Christ. And I firmly believe it is present in many of you and your families as you strive to live the faith, often with little support. As we continue then in the second half of Lent, let us pray that our Lenten sacrifices and penance and prayer, our self-denial and self-control will help us see that Jesus is very much with us. Maybe sometime this week, read the 33rd Psalm and reflect on this one line, "The Lord fills the earth with goodness." In spite of so much that could burden us, cause us sadness, God's goodness is here, waiting to be found.